Good morning.
Good morning.
So here's a little snippet for you.
Inside the sanctuary on this rainy morning, and so we need to be thankful that we are able to meet inside. I do have a couple more things on the VBS. Again, if you want to access that, you go to our website, which is hbcclarksville.org. There's a VBS tab. You click on that, and we've got everything from the opening with Bald Eagle and Sasquatch Steve, and we've got music and crafts and snack and Bible study and missions with Miss Rhonda. So it's all put together for you. Youth, we're going to be meeting every night, Monday through Thursday, via Zoom. And we should have, I'm praying that we'll have a small surprise at the end of the week. And so, but you need to be on the Zoom to get that surprise. And that'll be at 7 o'clock Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday for the youth. And that is my announcement tonight. But it is great to see everyone this morning. We want to welcome everyone. The way we're going to welcome is through a distance wave and a how are you. So please stand up with me and turn to your neighbors and distant folk and wave.
Now is the time to give your
Gone before. before us find the way. Cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly
Wayne do a really good job. Yeah, go ahead. Actually, I was sitting over here thinking we need to do something. We need to do something like clap, jump, wake up, I don't know, get some energy. So how about amen, praise the Lord.
Amen, praise the Lord.
That was weak. One more time, all of you.
Amen, praise the Lord.
All right, now keep that. Don't lose it. Yeehaw is right. All right, we're going to look at the parable of the living and the loving Father in Luke 15, verses 11 through 20. Luke 15, verses 11 through 20. So as you look that up, today is Father's Day, and this is going to be geared towards fathers. It is the parable of the loving Father. Luke 15, starting in verse 11. A certain man had two sons, and the younger then said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted or lost his possessions with prodigal or wasteful living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed the swine, to feed the pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one would give him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish or die with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, for I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Again, this is the parable of the loving Father. Today we celebrate Father's Day. And dads, I hope that you realize how important you are to God. God has given you a huge responsibility, and that responsibility includes teaching the Word of God to your children. He's given you the job of being spiritual leader of your home. You've been instructed to teach your family and kids all of God's Word. And realize this, you teach by example. You either teach them well or you teach them the worldly way. I've told you several times from the pulpit, when I got saved, my daddy taught me the worldly way. He did not teach me how to walk with the Lord. I never heard daddy pray. I never saw him open up the Bible at home and read it to me. But I learned by his example. So I grew up not reading the Bible and not praying and really not walking with God. So we learn by example. Dads, God's given you a huge, huge responsibility. You are to take this thing, it's the Word of God, it's the living Word of God, learn it, practice it, teach it. Learn the Word of God, practice the Word of God in front of your children, in front of your wife, and teach them the Word of God. Wonder if you've ever had the a reason, I was going to say the privilege, but a reason to pray Proverbs 22:6 for one of your children, or maybe a son or a daughter left home and they weren't quite ready to leave home. And Proverbs 22:6, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should grow. And if he strays from it," the Bible says, "he'll return, he'll not depart from the Word of God." If you've ever raised your children in the Lord, this is your promise, that when they leave, they stray away from God's Word, and you've done your job to teach them God's Word, they'll come back. Isn't that a great promise? You're looking at one. I strayed. I want to tell you it wasn't my fault, because I copied Daddy. But God got my heart because He was living inside me. He convicted me, especially when I had children. So we have a huge responsibility, dads, to learn God's Word, to practice God's Word, and to apply God's Word. So today we're going to look at a father who raised two boys. And this, the focus is not going to be on the wayward son. It's going to be on the loving father, the compassionate father. Somebody wrote this: "How many parents have stood upon this verse during seasons of difficult dealings with the wayward son, talking about Proverbs 22 and 6. There's no promise here that the child will never sow some wild oats. The promise is that the child will eventually return home to the truth upon which he or she was raised. Of course, the operative word of all this is the very first word of the proverb, train. This promise is not for all parents of prodigals. This promise is for the parents who train their children in the way they should go. In other words, they teach them the Word of God. There is no more powerful example of this truth than Jesus' story of the prodigal son. Ironically, the story is not about the son or his brother. The story is really about the father. And the story begins, a certain man had two sons, and that father stands right in the center of this story. So we're going to look at him and see, as dads and granddads and dads-to-be, some lessons that you and I can learn of how to raise our children. So the first one is going to be in verses 11 through 13, and there's something missing in this father's character. So as I read verses 11 through 13, you listen for something that's missing in his character. Starting in verse 11, the Bible says, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living or wasteful living. Verse 13 seems like it has a period of time, and the father saw that son go away, and somehow or another he realized that the son was losing and had lost all that he had inherited. So here's what you see missing out of the character of the loving father. If you read those two or three verses about the father, you don't see any worry. He's not a father to worry. You don't see him wringing his hands, oh me, what am I going to do? My son's lost a dollar. What in the world is my son going to do? He's got no food. You don't see him worrying. If you look real close, you see a certain confidence in this father, and I can tell you why. Because this father learned God's word, he practiced God's word, and he taught God's word to his children, to these two boys. He knew without a doubt that he had done what God had asked him to do, and he took this and he taught it to those boys' heart, to their minds, and he constantly, every single day, would teach them the word of God. So no, he didn't have to worry. I'll get to why he didn't worry in just a second. But let's look at the second thing, the training of the man to the son did, and it takes effect in verse 17. So let me read it to you and tell you about five words in here. Verse 17, but when the boy came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I die or perish with hunger. The Bible says, the boy says, when he came to himself. And here's the deal, dads. When you know the word, you practice the word, you teach the word to your children, and you know that you've taught them, and they're saved, and the Holy Spirit abides in their heart, then that Holy Spirit teaching and the Holy Spirit conviction is going to cause that son that's wayward or that daughter that's wayward to come to herself. They're going to realize that they're outside of God's will. So if you've done your job and taught them the word of God, and they're saved, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes and abides in those that have invited Jesus into their life, then the promise is they'll not depart, they'll come back. But more than that, they will come to themselves because the Holy Spirit grabs hold of their hearts. This wise father knew that to keep his child was to let him go. So look at verse 12 and verse 18. And the younger of that boy said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. In other words, give me my part, give me my inheritance. So he divided to them his livelihood. And then verse 18, the boy says, the boy after starving says, I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth. He could let his boy go because he knew that he had learned the word of God, practiced the word of God, and taught the word of God to his son. It's like Jesus has us in his hands, and And as he has us, we're protected and nothing can bother us. And sometimes we need to get outside of his hands. And Jesus lets us get outside of his hands, outside of his will. And as we get outside of his will, we become this prodigal son and we waste everything that we have. And oh me, Lord, I'm broken, starving to death. I need help. And God's allowed us to, because God knows that he's taught us his word. So sometimes, this is a hard lesson, sometimes you got your children in the palm of your hand, and as they grow up, they need to get out. You need to let them go, knowing that you've taught them the best you can. That's a whole different story if you haven't taught them the word of God and how to live in this world. This morning, somebody came to me and asked me if we could have a special service for our country. And as she talked to me about it, tears were running down her cheeks. Talked about the things that are taking place in our country now and how they're destroying some of the traditions that we have and some of the statues and just being downright disrespectful. Some of them are, and some of them have legitimate complaints, I guess. But the deal is, sometimes God lets us get out of his hands so that he can make sure that we know what he's taught us and we return to him. Our children do the same thing. And the book of James says we learn faith and develop faith because of trials and tribulations. So God lets us go so that you and I can learn to trust him. We let our children go. Anybody ever had a raised a child and they got married and left home? Pretty hard, isn't it? The first one. Second one. But that first one to leave, it just breaks your heart. But if you've raised them up in church, and you've taught them God's word, and you've had daily devotions with them and prayed with them, then it's a whole lot easier. Say, go on, God's going to protect you. And mom and dad will be at home praying for them constantly. God, take care of them. Take care of them. And he does. By the way, this Father is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Father. He is the one that's letting us go. He's the one that's praying for us and teaching us God's word. Here's a question that came to my heart as I studied all this. Remember, God sometimes just, he lets us go so that we can go and return to him or learn some things, develop faith and come back to him. So dads, as your kids become the wayward astray, are you able to trust God with your children? God's the best keeper there is. If you've taught God's word to them and taught them how to handle adversity through the Lord's eyes, the promise is that God will let them return. He'll take care of them. So do we trust God with our children? And I'm going to just talk about Jerry right now. How often have I tried to do God's work that I may know a little bit more than God does, so I don't quite trust God. I want to do it myself. I want to make sure they're okay. So I keep them at the house. I keep them inside. I won't let them get outside. I won't let them get hurt. God's able to keep them always. Do you agree with that? Well, let's keep going and look at verse 20. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Usually when I study verse 20 and read verse 20, tears come to my eyes because of who's the Father is and what he does. So let's read verse 20 together. And the boy arose and came to his father. But when the boy was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The Bible says the boy was still a great way off and wound up there. And then the Bible says the father was looking and he saw him. I wonder with me, think along with me, I wonder how many dads have missed the opportunity to receive a wayward child because they were not watching for their children to come home. And let me finish that, my thought of this. I know that we can't watch 24 hours a day, but we can watch and we can love our children enough where we're constantly just watching. We may have to do something, but as we're doing something, we're praying, Lord, bring those kids home. And I put myself in the wayward boy's shoes. So he's walking and he sees his home and he's far away, the Bible says, he's pretty far away. And if it's like, if I was like him or if he was like me, I'd get close to my house and think, maybe my dad doesn't want me to come home. Or maybe I'm chicken and I chicken out and I'm ready to turn around and sneak away. And if the daddy's not watching for his son to come home or his daughter to come home, if he's not waiting for those kids to come home, and he's absolutely got no idea where the kids are, he's not seeing them, that's for sure, far away, and that boy has the opportunity to turn around and sneak away and to chicken out or whatever reason, he may not make it all the way home. But if a dad is watching for his child to come home and he sees him and he starts to turn around and say, whoa, wait a minute. And our dad today saw him from afar off, and the Bible says, what did he do? He ran after that boy. He'd been watching. Bible doesn't say how often or how long, but I have a feeling just like this always, watching for that son to come home. And he saw the boy come home, and the Bible says he ran to that boy, and he hit him on the neck with a kiss. Now, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Compassion, mercy, forgiveness, love, I mean, you name it, that's what we're seeing here. God is running to that young boy with his arms wide open, ready to engulf this boy and love him and encourage him and put that kiss right on his neck. And let me tell you, this is not a five-year-old boy. It's easy to kiss a five-year-old son. But when they get to be 20 or 25 years old, not so easy, and they don't want you to kiss them. My boy, you've seen my boy come here. Sometimes before he leaves, I'll sneak a kiss on his cheek. I hold him sometimes. He's bigger than I am. But he never, when he realizes what's happening, I can feel his body relax. But the first reaction is, get away from me, Dad. What's wrong with you? Now here's the deal with Jesus though, and this is my Lord running after me. He's got his arms wide open as he's running, and that's a picture of God's compassion to a sinful boy that's lost everything, has nothing left, coming as humble as he knows how to, and those arms are wide open, and he puts those arms, can you imagine that, putting his arms around you and pulling you into his bosom and just loving you. Now, if you grew up like I grew up, this means a whole lot. Because I never felt Daddy do that to me. But I have felt Jesus do that to me 1,000 times. That's the reason this brings tears to my life sometimes, to my eyes sometimes when I think about it. Because this is verse 20, is my verse. I'm that wayward boy. And God had compassion on me. And let me tell you something that's missing in this father. As he runs and he got his arms wide open and he runs to kiss his son and say, welcome back. What he doesn't say is, don't you ever do this again. Or look what you put your mother through. Or I can't believe you're that stupid to do something. That's not in scripture, is it? But that's sometimes how we react, isn't it? Yeah. This is the loving Lord. This is God, the one that created us, that made us who we are, that saved us. And he could have said, now listen here, son. No, we see the love and compassion. And this is lessons for us to learn. And dads, young dads, granddaddies, this is a lesson for you and I to teach them to, first of all, know the Word of God, to practice the Word of God at home, and teach the Word of God to them. You know, my grandkids come back to the house now. My son and daughter, they're old. I was telling somebody yesterday, the day before, I remember when my mother turned 40, 40, and I thought, man, she's old as the hills. Pretty young now, but I thought, man, mom is old. Well, my kids are there, but I got grandkids, and they need to be taught the love and compassion of Jesus. And Ron and I decided a long time ago, when our grandkids come to the house, we're going to love them and teach them God's word, and we're going to try not to do this. I said try, that's the key word. Because they sure can test you, can't they? We got house rules, but when they come, they're out the window. But this is a picture of God. Now, he's got house rules too, doesn't he? But our picture today is a loving father, a compassionate father that loves his children enough to be watching and running to them and loving them, forgiving them. And there's one other thing about this dad that just amazes me. It's in verse 28. Let me read it and then I'll explain it to you what I was thinking. He was angry. The older boy was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. Where he wouldn't go in, it's a celebration for the young boy that came back. Kill the fatted calf. Let's have a celebration. My boy is back. Let's just have a grand old time. And they did. They had a great feast. And that older boy wouldn't go in. He was mad. He was angry. He was pouting. Wanted back to go in. He'd done what his daddy asked. Been obedient at home. And the father goes out and spends time with the older boy. It's a picture of a daddy going anywhere he has to love his kids, take care of his kids, and do what's necessary to bring them into the fold. How do we respond to something like this? And we go through it, don't we? We go through the same stuff. We're either the wayward or the father. We're either the prodigal or the loving father. So here's the deal. We've been told by God, by Jesus, to know the Word of God, to practice the Word of God at home, and to teach the Word of God to our children. And this is a responsibility that God has given to dads. Men, God has trusted you with His children. You may have not done it. My daddy didn't do it. Later on in life, he got right with God. But it was too late to teach me God's word. But today, I'm asking you, if you failed at this so far, ask God to help you to overcome it. And if your children are too old, like mine, then teach your grandkids. And if you don't have grandkids that you can teach, come here to church and teach our kids. Live the word of God in front of them. What a joy it is when we can have regular church and have Sunday school and nursery. You guys do a fantastic job in the nursery. You love our kids, you teach them. And take our 2-year-olds and teach them the Word of God. Thank you guys for doing that. Well, let me close with a story about one of the men I like to read, O.S. Hawkins. He wrote, a notable characteristic of the prodigal's son's father is his presence. He was there for his sons no matter what their complaints were. And when the homecoming party was at its peak, where was Dad? Outside with the wounded older brother, assuring him of his love. We parents need to be like this father who had the wisdom to recognize when to open his hand and let his son go, to know to keep his arms open and ready to welcome back, and to keep his heart ready to encourage and love. The real message of Jesus' story is that our Heavenly Father deals with us in the same way that His Father dealt with His prodigal. God our Father has opened His hands. He gave us free will. God our Father meets us with His arms open wide. They were opened wide on the cross. Finally, God shows us His open heart. He loves us with unconditional and never-ending love. May God help us parents be the kind of parent that Jesus was. Know God's word, practice God's word, teach God's word. Those sound pretty simple, don't they? They're a little bit hard to do at home. So the invitation today is this. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, why don't you come up here and let me pray with you? Dads, if you haven't done so, I've told you before, when my kids were growing up, when they were 5 or 6 years old, Rhonda did the teaching. Rhonda took care of the house. I was working 7 days a week, 18 hours a day. Rhonda did it all. I was not the spiritual leader of the house. I had never been taught how to do that. Did not know how to. So Rhonda took that job. If I'd have heard of a sermon back then like I heard today, it probably would have made a big difference in my heart, because when I finally heard it, I changed. So today, dads, if you're not doing it, don't get discouraged. Just change. Just say, Lord, I need help. I don't know how to do what the preacher's talking about doing. If you're willing to ask for help, God will help. And He can overcome a multitude of your failings. Rhonda, bless you. I'm so grateful for her to taking the children to church, to reading the word to them every night. I didn't do it. And she took care of the spiritual and the raising. But then somebody got hold of me. The Lord did. And I took that job. I became the spiritual leader of our home. You can do it too. Maybe you've done a very good job, so praise God for that. You don't have the wayward. All I'm asking is to hear what God has, how He teaches, and let's do it. Pretty simple. So let's stand. I'll be up here. If you need to pray about anything, come on up and I'll pray with you. Prayer. Steve, are you busy right now?
Nope.
Can you go help Don?
Yeah.
He's going to take the garbage out and paint a room. We've got some things for the men. A pen and a bookmark. Dads, if you don't know what a book is, it's those things that are rectangular and they got words in between the ends. And anyways, a bookmark and a pen for the dads. And I told them to give them to all men. We got plenty. They are supposed to be gloved up so they don't touch you. We'll see if they do that. The offering plate's back here. So let me pray with you and then we'll close. Father Almighty, thank you for this day, your blessings, your love and grace. Thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of meeting together. Father, when it's raining outside, I'm sure I'm grateful that we can meet inside and stay dry. I thank you, Lord, for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. I pray, Father, for the cares of this world, the country, the way it's, the things that are going on in this country, Father, that are not godly. I lift them up to you, asking, Lord, that you would take care of our country and help us to return back to you. Pray for each one, Father. I know they have burdens that they're, you know, just loaded with them, Father. And I pray that they would be able to leave those at the foot of the cross. I pray your encouragement on those that have lost loved ones, healing for those that need healing, financial help for those that need help. We just praise you and thank you, God, for taking care of us. Now I pray your blessings on them, give them safe travels home, and just a good day today. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.